Trust you're at the practices today?
No, I actually had radio row responsibilities today. I was with the players yesterday with our interviews, so I did not chance to do the practice. Did someone break a hand or a foot that I need to know about?
No. No, we just talked about how it's a great experience for somebody that maybe couldn't get into the games where you kind of get the feel of the tournament. We had a lot of people do that here in Boise for the event.
Oh, absolutely. That stuff, that's, of all the things that people dislike about the NCAA, whether it's accurate or not, that's one of the things that people should really enjoy is that they do get some opportunities to see some things for free, and they put on a good fan fest, and they make whatever city they're in, they make it a pretty good spot. Then again, you're also putting the kids that are quote-unquote not getting paid on display for people to come and watch, so I don't know how you feel about that aspect of it, but for the fan experience, it's pretty cool.
Now, I'm guessing since you had Radio Row responsibilities today, you weren't one of the many people who were there for the Sister Jean press conference, and it seemed like she had more than the players did.
She might have. We had someone there. It will be a special part of our broadcast tomorrow night. I am not going to give it away who it is, who had an interview, a little conversation with Sister Jean. I am not going to give that part of it away, but it is someone who is much older than I am. Let's leave it at that, who is part of our broadcast.
What time would this roughly come on, you think?
Well, let's see. The game is at 6:09 Eastern. What is that?
4:09 our time, yep.
I'm guessing. You know, I will be getting our rundown is basically in 20 minutes. But my guess is that it's probably around 3 something Mountain Time.
Okay,
is our little sit down with Sister Jean. So we will find that out. But you know, it could just be better if you just listen to the whole 2 hours and 40
Perfect.
Minutes of pregame.
I like it.
I'm joined by Jason Horowitz of Westwood One. He's going to be hosting our Final Four coverage right here on Sports Radio. So what about actually, like, Loyola Chicago is a team, and they're up against Michigan in this semifinal. I think more people know Sister Jean than the team. How do they match up with Michigan?
Well, you know, that's kind of, I haven't been able to decide over the past 2 days if Loyola Chicago's story has been overshadowed by this 98-year-old woman or been accompanied by and made larger because of this 98-year-old woman. And you know, then with that being said, what we'll remember 20 years from now, and I don't know the answer to that, but as far as the team, A, those guys are awesome to be around. They've got full control of what this has been. They've got full understanding that when they went to Loyola Chicago, they'd get 5 people to a game. They'd have to be out trying to hand out people to come. I mean, it's your prototypical nobody knows who you are to everybody knows who you are conversation. And they are fully enjoying it. They're fully aware of it. But at the same time, they understand why everyone's calling them a Cinderella, but they don't necessarily buy into the fact that they are, because they also know that they went to Florida and they beat the Gators pretty soundly. I don't remember what the final score was, but I know that they were up by double digits for most of the game. I know that they also know that, look, they have been in the lead for the most part of the past 3 games. They had to come back against Miami. But against Tennessee, they had the lead most of the game. Against Nevada in the second half, they had the lead most of the game, most of the second half. Against Kansas State, they ran away with it from the beginning. So they don't feel like they are Cinderella to be here. They feel like they belong here and that they're not done yet.
Jason Horowitz joining us. He is the host of Westwood One's NCAA Basketball Final Four National Championship game as well. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio, The Ticket, visiting with Bob and Chris on Idaho Sports Talk. Jason, I think at least in the time that I can remember basketball and I can remember back into the early 70s as far as watching Final Fours, I get into debates with who's the biggest underdog to win it, and it usually comes down to Villanova or NC State. I think if Loyola cuts the nets down, they will be by far the biggest underdog to win this thing. Maybe they won't do it as an exciting a fashion as NC State, or maybe they won't do it with a perfect game played like Villanova. But I think based on where the programs were, those two versus this one, it's not even close.
Not close. And you know what? The conversation that we've been having this week is, where do they rank right now? Forget about winning it, about just being in the Final Four. Because, you know, they didn't have to beat a one seed to get here, like George Mason having to take down that unbelievable UConn team or VCU beating Kansas with the Morris twins and all that stuff. Like, they didn't have to do that, but they also hadn't been in the tournament in 33 years, and they live in a city in Chicago that didn't know that they played basketball. You know, like, it's something along those lines of I think right now they're one of the top five biggest Cinderella upset stories in the history of college basketball, in a tournament anyway. And if they get to the championship, it takes another step, and if they win the whole thing, it's not even close. So I'm with you on that. The only thing that's different about it is that college basketball is different, right? Like, when Jim Valvano and NC State won, that, you know, not all the same number of teams were getting in, and, you know, when Villanova won, and people on Villanova will say this, people on Georgetown will say this, you know, you're in the same conference, you know, they played two close games during the year. Like, they all say that when you talk about that as the upset stuff. So this one, first of all, it's just fun. But second of all, I'm with you. I don't think it's close. And I don't think it's close even if they get to the championship. Forget win it.
Now, on this similar path, like, Loyola Chicago getting all the credit, but, like, on the other side, there's Kansas and Duke maybe played the best game of the tournament in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four for Kansas. And it's interesting because, like, nobody's going to consider Kansas an underdog by any stretch. But out of all the Kansas teams that have been in the NCAA tournament over the past 10 years, this one might have the least amount of talent. Like, it's in terms of, like, you know, Josh Jackson last year, had Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid for 1 year. This team doesn't have anybody like that, but why is this the Kansas team? Again, not an underdog, but they've made it to the Final Four.
I don't know. I wish I gave you a better answer than that. Then I don't know. But sometimes teams just become bigger than their individual part. So I think that's part of it. And then I think the other part of it is that we don't appreciate guys who are great college players when we talk about the talent. Like, Devontae Graham, he might not be a great NBA player. He might not ever really be an NBA player. He is a great college basketball player. And didn't start off that way, but he has become a great college basketball player. Malik Newman is a guy that, look, the reality is when someone goes to Mississippi State as a McDonald's All-American, they don't get a lot of attention because you're at Mississippi State. But people have seen his talent and why he was a McDonald's All-American, why he might be a pro soon over the past 3 weeks when he's scoring 25 a game or whatever it is over the past 3.5 weeks. You know, so it's that combination. Udoka Azubuike, he is massive. I got a chance to sit down with him yesterday. Dude is absolutely massive. And when he's out there, teams have a really hard time scoring. Now, he's got foul trouble issues, and they don't have a lot of depth. But he is fantastic defensively when he's out there. So, again, it's the part. And I also think part of those quote-unquote parts is that Bill Self doesn't get enough credit for what Bill Self has accomplished. You know, people always criticize him for the lack of Final Fours with all the great teams and the amount of times he's lost as a better seed. And I go the other direction. And maybe it's the positive aspect of things, and I'm not a Kansas fan, so it doesn't really bother me or affect me. But I look at it and said, okay, Bill Self in his 15th year at Kansas, Bill Self has been to 8 Elite Eights. Like, I know Mike Krzyzewski had that run of 5 straight Final Fours, but in the last 20 years, has he been to 8 and 15? My guess is no. So he's accomplished so much more than people actually give him credit for, and now he's got a chance to win the national championship with.
Is Michigan the forgotten team at this tournament, Final Four?
No.
No?
I actually think Kansas is the forgotten team in this tournament. Because Michigan is the one that everyone's talking about because Michigan against Loyola Chicago. I think it's funny. In a championship weekend where you have a 1-1, right? What people want to see, a blue blood against a program that I wouldn't call a blue blood, but it's always been good and has some history and has become the most consistent program in college basketball the better part of the last 5-6 years. In a Final Four that has that, all of the conversation is about Loyola and how do they beat Michigan, or they can't beat Michigan, or Michigan might be the hottest team and they're going to win the national championship. So I actually think Kansas is the forgotten team that's here.
Joined by Jason Horowitz. He's anchoring the Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament. And before we let you go, you've been to a bunch of these Final Fours. I don't know how many of it is for you, but how does San Antonio as a destination hosting the Final Four compare to some of the others you've been to?
This is my second in San Antonio. My first Final Four was 2007 in Atlanta. San Antonio is great. I'm literally, as you asked me that, walking out onto my balcony to look at the Riverwalk.
Nice.
San Antonio is a great destination for the Final Four. Everything's walkable, including the Alamo Dome, from all of the downtown stuff. And I think one of the things that we forget about when we talk about the Final Four and venues and destinations and cities and all that stuff is that we just, you know, games are in the dome now. They're in domes, so you just take that part of it for granted. And you just say, okay, well, it's in a dome. Sightlines are going to stink and all that stuff. And the one good thing about this one, it holds 70,000, but it feels much smaller than that. You know, some of the places we go, the stadiums just feel massive, but this one doesn't. And I think that makes for a better fan experience in the game come tomorrow and come Monday. So that's part of it for me as well. Then it's everything's walkable. The team's hotels, like you walk past them. So you know where the teams are staying and all that stuff. So it's a better fan experience. It's also harder to get to, but it's a better fan experience.
I'm going to leave you with one last question that's really sort of on the fringe of talking about basketball, but it's about the trip. You mentioned something that's smaller than you think it would be. Have you been to the Alamo itself? Isn't that smaller than what you think it would be? It's tiny.
It is. In fact, I had someone ask me last night, how did they fit all those people in?
That's all that's left.
And I said something about, well, haven't you been to the basement?
I mean,
and they're like, what are you talking about? I said, clearly you haven't watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, boy. Now, I guess last time you left us with a tennis ball question. So have you decided on the color of the tennis ball?
No.
Okay.
I you know what? After I left it with you, I think I left it out of my mind, too.
Okay, yeah.
What did you guys decide?
I went with green. I went with green. And our producer, Michael Fisher, chose yellow. So you led us down a wayward path, though, for sure.
Did
last
that carry
time
the rest of the day? Was that the rest of the conversation?
It definitely began our next segment. We'll at least say that.
I'm glad I could help.